Okay, Thursday night, we're going to go a little bright in the Sefer Cheshbon HaNefesh. Next Thursday night, we won't be learning. That's the Thursday night, yes, it's on Gedalia. And the next Thursday night, we won't be learning. After Yom Kippur. And we'll decide if we're going to continue the Sefer Cheshbon HaNefesh after Sukkot or not. Meanwhile, we'll continue the Sefer Cheshbon HaNefesh. The point that he's making, that the Sefer has made until now, is that in our door, he considers it too difficult and not realistic to think that we can just overpower the Nefesh HaBahami within us with thoughts of Yiras Hashem, with thoughts of Gadlus Hashem, with thoughts even of Yiras HaOnesh. To just like overpower is not going to happen. He then talked about that, so in later Doros, as the Doros went on, they developed a system called Cheshbon HaNefesh, where the person would sit for a specific time during the day, and he would do it in the morning. He would do it in the morning when his mind was clear. Yeah. He would do it in the morning when his mind was clear. If you ever wake up in the morning, some people wake up in the morning, their mind is like, I guess different people have different habits, how they go to sleep and how they wake up. But he talks about doing it in the morning when your mind is clear and uncluttered, and to do it in the evening also. And the Cheshbon HaNefesh was a gather of B'chatosi Negdi Samid, to try to recall what you did wrong during the day, and to undergo some sort of mini tshuva process. How am I going to avoid this tomorrow? And this would be done every day. Then that got too hard. It got too hard. And he says that, he doesn't say the famous word Sesame Street, but he says that people stop being able to focus on a single thought for a long period of time. In order to overcome a midah, even in a gradual process, overpowering it, just with Shavisi Hashem and Negdi Tomit, forget about it. But even then, the other method, in the Cheshbon HaNefesh method, that was an earlier Doros, which would require concentration and focus for long periods of time, so with the passing of the generations, people were not able to focus and concentrate for long periods of time, because even an animal, the Nefesh HaBahami, or an animal, mamish, as the master has to keep it focused. The mind keeps wandering, it keeps on seeing things, it keeps on looking around, right? The Nefesh HaBahami is ADD, he says. So, but if the master tries to keep the animal, so the master keeps the animal focused, like, you know, he puts on blinders and, you know, this single-mindedness. But if it does it too much, if you step over the line, then the animal throws you off and runs away or tramples on you. So there's a limit. So the animal's going to rebel. He keeps on two-stelling animal training and Nefesh HaBahami training. So the animal's going to rebel. So he says, really, what we should do is we should start with a few minutes a day, and then a little longer each day, fooling the Nefesh HaBahami, he calls it. Fooling or circumventing, developing the ability to focus, the ability to concentrate, until eventually you'll be able to do this for an hour a day, he says. Eventually. You'll start small, start with 5 minutes, and then you'll be able to do it for an hour a day. But we need strategies. We need strategies, he says, in Chinuch, we need strategies how to, like, what to think about, what to focus on. You know, after you've developed this ability to do it and you have a game plan, because you'll do it a little more each day, but you need strategies. He says, Chinuch, the old-fashioned Chinuch, he says, used to just feel that it's enough schar va'onish. We call it behavioral, like B.F. Skinner. They used to hold the Schaiva Onesh. With Schaiva Onesh, you could modify and control people's behavior. And you get them used to the idea that if they act a certain way, they'll get a patch, and if they act a certain way, they'll get a candy. So everybody wants candies rather than patches, and that'll modify their behavior. He says, doesn't work anymore, he says. I don't know, B.F. Skinner came into the Cheshbon HaNefesh. He certainly felt it worked. But he says it doesn't work anymore, and it really doesn't go la'omek ha'nefesh, which is certainly true. It doesn't, you know, it modifies your behavior. That was, like, that's the big machlokes, one of the machlokes, that, you know, with behavioral psychology, you don't really get it. You know, they want you to sit on a couch and talk about why your behavior is the way it is, and if you could figure out why your behavior is the way it is, then you're on your way to a cure. Because you can compensate for your hergeshim in a different way. Like, why are you always getting mad at people? Because your father yelled at you when you were 6 years old. So once you chop that, you say, whoa, that's why it's happening. And the other mahalach is, you know, every time you get mad at someone, you get a patch. You get an electric shock. So it doesn't really get to the root of the matter, and therefore it has its limitations. All right, that's how the Sefer puts it. That's what he's talking about. And then he says a very interesting thing, which is fascinating. He says, if the Doros of Rishonim would have written about their struggles, they would have written books about their struggles, then we would be able to learn like how they dealt with these issues. He says, you know, Musar and Ashkafa, it only goes so far. But how did they deal with issues? You know, everybody's stressing the Tzad Tov, like the Asay Tov. But you have the Yetzirah, and the Yetzirah is pulling you in these directions. Doesn't seem like the Musar works that we have in his generation, he says, addresses like real people and real life and real struggles. And if they would have written about it, we would know how they dealt with it, because they obviously are tzaddikim, and they obviously they're wonderful people. They're tzaddikim, chassidim, but they're human beings. They must have struggled with these things. So, like, what did they do? We don't know. So, okay, then he says on page, at the end of page 52, I think, yeah, or whatever, the end of the previous slide, he says, a new method has burst upon the scene. And he's so excited about it, he says, this is going to take over the whole world. It's like better than it's like the printing press. This is going to take over the whole world. Now, Meiser didn't take over the whole world. But it's a wonderful method. And he says it incorporates all the things he's been talking about. Because it allows you to make a cheshbon ha'nefesh, and it does it incrementally, and it does it slowly, and it has the benefit that you're working on the pneumius of your character development. You are taming the wild beast in yourself, you're just doing it slowly, and he's going to give you the methodology in which to do it. And someone thought of this way of doing it, and it's wonderful, and it's fantastic, and he can't stop talking about it, and that's why he wrote the Sefer Cheshbon HaNefesh. Now, in the next section of the book, he describes the method. It is a wonderful method, I have to say. We don't do it. It didn't take over the world because he was a little too kind to people, and especially anything that takes work. It's very hard to get to everybody now. Nobody wants to work anymore. Not nobody. It's a problem. People don't want to work anymore. I said it many times. You go into a Sfarim store now, the best sellers are the Reader's Digest, as far as I call them. People don't want to struggle to understand even a Pnei Yeshua anymore. They want to read a synopsis of the Pnei Yeshua brought down in the Sefer called Mara Makomos al Maseches Kiddushin, where in one paragraph you could just read a synopsis. Soon there's going to be a synopsis of the Daf, so you don't even have to learn the Afyomi anymore. You can just read a synopsis of the Daf. For sure. They already have it on tape. It's just a question of when they're gonna You know, there's a whole new genre of Gemaras out there that are copying Art Scroll, but they're not really copying Art Scroll. There's a new slew of Gemaras just came out. You know, like the translations. But I looked them over. You know, like the Yesod Malchus? They're trying a Yesod Malchus Shas. That's what they're gearing towards, the total cessation of any brain activity during learning. Like, there should be a flat line, and you're able to just read. Like Yesod Malchus. You can buy already Yesod Malchus on Nevi'im. Not such a bad thing, rather, Nevi'im, because nobody learns Navi. But instead of sitting there learning the Navi and Rashi, they have, like, the interlinear. You can buy Yesod Malchus Yishayo, Yesod Malchus Yirmiyo, Yesod Malchus Treyoser already. And now they're going to have Yesod Malchus Shas. That's what these forum are. That's why, because check them out to see if there's any competition. People don't want to work. It's a huge problem. I'm not talking about in the Jewish world. People don't want to think. And when I say the Sesame Street generation, the television generation, the whole fact that now learning needs a video simulation, and people don't want to take the time to think anymore. It's very hard to get people to concentrate, to focus, the amount of time. Rabbis have this problem with drushas, right? The amount of time that people are able to sit there and listen to a drusha and concentrate on a drusha keeps shrinking, like yearly. The studies, people's attention spans very less. Anyway, so the reason that he was very excited, but the reason it didn't take over the world is because it takes a lot of work. So the very reason that he's so excited about this method and that he's confident that it'll allow a person to change his character and avoid the problems which he describes at such length, why people don't change and find it so hard to change, slow and steady and consistent and committed and not miss a day and do it every day and don't jump to try to do a lot, but do a little and build up. He said, you know, that's why he's excited about it, and ironically that's why I would venture to say that people, that's why it didn't work. That's why it didn't work. So we have no patience for things. We have no patience. It's a very big problem. It's in the Goyish world too. It's not just in the Yiddish world. The microwaves. I mean, the whole, no patience. My kids, you know, I already. You know, if you tell me, you know, when I grew up, we dialed the phones. And if you would make me dial a phone now, I would go out of my mind, right? But to wait till that zero goes all the way back. My kids go crazy if the redial button's broken. Like, they don't want to push 8 buttons. They just want to push 1 button. Right? The redial's broken. And they're like, hey, the redial button's broken. Like, this is terrible. It's like when my email's down, I go nuts. The redial button's broken. They go nuts. That's it. That's what we've done. Anyway, but I don't know what value it has. I'll go through it very quickly. He says, first of all, he says to pick 13 needles, because his methodology, if you have the Sefer Cheshbon HaNefesh, you see the charts on page 184 and 185. He has the charts that he wants you to make. Weekly charts, he says, pick 13 needles. 13 fits very neatly in the way he wants you to work on yourself. And he picks 13 needles. You're not working on 13 needles at one time. That's exactly his chiddush. You're working out 1 needle a week. And you do it. I didn't go through the math, I didn't have patience. But over the year, you're going to work on each meter for a week 4 times. 13 times 4 is 52. Right? So you're going to work on each meter 4 times 4 weeks, and that's going to cover the year. So you're only doing it a week. And he has a methodology how you work on the meter. He says, first of all, pick 13 meters. Like, pick 13. Are these the famous 13 meters that he picked? Are these the famous 13 meters of Rav Salanter? Rav Salanter has like a famous list. So you see it in charts. You can buy it in the store. Could be, this is probably the 13, because Menuchas Nefesh, Tavlonus, it's all Midos, it's all character development. He's not talking about Averis here. He's talking about character development. So he picks the 13 as serenity, patience, being Mesudar, Anova, Tzedek, Zrizus, Shtika, Emes. Okay, pick 13 Midos, he says. And give each one a motto, he says, like, you give each one a pithy saying from Chazal, something that'll, this is like the idea, you know, you read something, and you can study it once, he says, I mean, study it a few times until you understand what it's about, but then give it a motto, like, give it a pithy, you know, a sentence or two in Chazal, that sum it up, and then he tells you to make a word that's going to remind you, and the mind works that way. That, you know, if you know something well, again, you studied it once or twice or whatever, you know, then you say one word, and that like brings up like all the midah, like that, now you know where it's at.
Should it be easier to conquer one midah at a time?
We're not doing justice to the Sefer. It's not fair, Reb Shmuel, because he explains very. I'm not.
It sounds like every week you do a different meter.
He explains very clearly what you should do. You know, I'm not. It's on page 54. He tells you how many page notebook to buy, and what kind of box to make. He says pick 13 midos, and he says, pick. I mean, on page 54, he starts saying how to do it. Pick. He says, you certainly have 13 bad midos that you have to be besaken.
I think one of the things he mentioned is that if you work very hard on one thing, that one intensity, that's one of the things that is not so good. Because
yeah, well, he has a system. He says, work on one thing as an assay, right, in a positive way, and meanwhile you're checking if you violated the other midos. That's his system. I'm not, right? Barishona, you learn the 13 midos, and then this is what he described, you get used to the motto, and then you get used to the word, and now with the word you're able to recall and bring up, like access, they would call it nowadays, you're able to access all the things about the midos with that word. And he says, so you're going to work specifically on one midah each week, and you're going to look forward to it. Like, you're going to be very sensitive to when it comes up in your life, and you're going to be sensitive to how you reacted, and you're going to grade yourself. And when you make your cheshbon, he says, in order to do this, so you have to get a notebook of 9 pages with 18 sides. And I'm saying, I'm not going to go through it. He describes exactly how to make the boxes, and in the morning, you're going to, this is like, sounds like, what's his name? Sounds like a football locker room at halftime. I don't know. Norman Vincent Peale. Who was the one that said the power of positive thinking? Who was that? What?
Martin.
No. But who was the power of positive thinking? Every day and every way I'm going to get better and better. You stand in front of a mirror and you say that. No, you guys never heard of Norman Vincent Peale? Yeah. So he says that every morning you're going to read this motto, and you're going to think through your day, what you plan on doing that day. And if this is going to come up, let's say you pick Kass. So, you know, everybody has trigger points, and everybody has situations that bring about Kass. And he knows in his day when he's going to be in a situation, right, where the Kass might erupt. So he says, if you violated the midah despite your summoning up, so you'll mark it down, and then at night or at the end of the week you'll see. And he says, as you work through it every 13 weeks, you're going to see, hopefully the dots are going to get less and less, you're going to see a slow but steady improvement. You're going to see a slow but steady improvement. He says, and at the end of the year, you're going to see this steady improvement. You're going to have to get the Shmaya. And I'm not doing justice at all to what he's doing. But that, okay? Now he says, it takes work. He says, Uchadayim had Varma Elu, on page 60 on the bottom. Because this is your life. This is your Kvodo Shalodim Lachai, Bolam Zem, Bolam Abad, Fuyim Bam. The doctor Bam, old Kimona Margolius. You should watch these notebooks and guard the notebooks, and you'll see that your character's improving. Omnam, follow me, says sometimes people have been on diets know this also. Sometimes it's like an initial drop off, and then inexplicably, because here sometimes inexplicably you're going to see that you're getting worse. That you were not only been a soyan, worse and worse, but it's the opposite of what I'm predicting will happen if you put your mind to it. She says sometimes it gets worse and worse. I'm on page 64 now, in paragraph Lamed Aleph. Sometimes it's an assignment, that's all. HaKadosh Baruch Hu throws at you situations that maybe you can't handle, that are not simple to handle, and that's your assignment. At this point, people will certainly make fun of you if you take a backward step. When you go backwards, and you're worse, people notice, they're going to make fun of you. Use this first midah. This is his first midah. He has to use this to be calm, just to be serene, to relax, to be chilled. He says, even if you dip, so don't get depressed right away and don't chuck the whole thing. But it's an asoyon. He says, there's a difference between the nefilah of a bali tame poschem lo and this. He says, the bali tame lo so mikra shel shkia, he calls it, hamiskomemes manman b'derech hayishorim. These are otherwise fine people, but they have these yuridos, and they're lenasosam. And you have to keep up with these charts, and you have to keep trying to improve, and don't be disheartened if you took a step back and it moved in a different direction. He says sometimes things came up, you got new friends moved into the neighborhood that are bad friends for you, new influences, sometimes your household people bother you. So you relax and just keep working, and you'll have the Siyata Dishmaya. He talks about Siyata Dishmaya. You'll have the Siyata Dishmaya that you deserve. He says when you're beginning a new thing, you're starting a new, to go on a new job, you go to new places, you're dabbling in a new place, so you have to think the people you're going to meet there. Don't ignore the koach of influence. And you have to see who you're going to meet there and what matzav you're going to be in. You're starting a new job, you have to know the matzav and what are your weaknesses and what are your strengths and how's it going to play out here. Okay, on page 70 he gives some examples of mottos, how he came up with the mottos. As I say, nowadays, people don't have the patience for this anymore. Right? They don't have the patience. Most people. But this has stayed current in many circles. In certain circles, they still learn Musar. They have the 13 meters. This must be it. The 13 meters of Rousseau Salanter on a chart. Must be these 13. For sure, he describes how to do it. It's not fair to ask questions the way I'm not really going through it. He gives very specific instructions exactly what to do to maximize your benefit from this method. If we continue the sefer, we're going to skip over all of this. And we're going to go to page 108, where he goes through the 18 midos. that he, I'm sorry, he, go, he goes through the, he goes through the 13 midos that he has picked, and he goes through them very methodically, and talks about it like a Musa Sefer. What's wrong with it? These are the things you have to learn, and then chazer over the motto, and then chazer over the word that's going to symbolize for you everything that I'm teaching you. Okay, we'll stop here. So we're...